For three generations, human geneticists had been working on the problem, but for now, the Finns swam along a knife edge, where irrationality was a perpetual danger. Toshio bit his lip.
"They have their harnesses," he said uncertainly.
"One can hope, but is it likely they'll use them properly when they are even now speaking primal?" Toshio struck the sled with his bald fist. Already his hand was growing numb from the chill.
"I'm going up," he announced.
"No, you must not. You must guard your safety."
Toshio ground his teeth. "Always mothering me. Mothering or teasing. The Finns treat me like a child, and I'm sick of it." He set the throttle to one quarter and pulled up on the bow planes.
"I'm going to unlash you, Brukita. Can you swim okay?"
"Yes, but..."
Toshio looked at his sonar. A fuzzy line was forming in the west.
"Can you swim?" he demanded.
"Yes, I can swim well enough, but don't cut me loose near the rescue fever. Don't you risk the aftershocks."
"I see one coming now. They'll be several minutes apart and weakening with time. I'll fix it so we rise just after this one passes. Then you've got to get going back to the ship. Tell them what's happened and get help."
"That's what you should do, Toshio."
"Never mind that. Will you do as I ask, or must I leave you lashed up?"
There was an almost unnoticeable pause, but Brukita's voice changed.
"I shall do exactly as you say, Toshio. I'll bring help."
Toshio checked his trim. Then he slipped over the side, holding onto the rim stanchions with one hand. Brukita looked at him through the transparent shell of the air dome. The tough bubble membrane surrounded the dolphin's head. Toshio tore loose the lashings, holding Brukita in place.
"You're going to have to take a breather, you know."
Brukita sighed as Toshio pulled a lever by the air dome. A small hose descended, one end covering Brukita's blowhole. Like a snake, 10 feet of hose wrapped around Brukita's torso. Breathers were uncomfortable and hindered speech, but by wearing one, Brukita would not have to come up for air. The breather would help the old metallurgist ignore the cries in the water, a constant, uncomfortable reminder of his membership in a technological culture. Toshio left Brukita tied in place by a single lashing. He pulled himself back onto the upper surface just as the first aftershock rolled overhead. The sled bucked, but he was prepared this time. They were deep, and the wave passed with surprising quickness.
"Okay, here goes."
He pushed the throttle forward to max and blew ballast. Soon the metal island appeared on his left. The screams of his comrades grew distinctly louder. The distress call was now preeminent over the rescue fever response. Toshio steered past the mound to the north. He wanted to give Brukita a head start. Just then, however, a sleek gray figure shot past, just overhead. He recognized it at once and where it was headed. Toshio cut the final lashing.
"Get moving, Brukita. If you come back anywhere near this island, I'll rip your harness and bite your tail in half."
Brukita dropped away, and the sled turned sharply. Toshio kicked in emergency power to try to catch up with Kipiru. The fastest swimmer in the Streak's crew was heading straight for the western beach. His cries were pure primal delphin.
"Damn you, Kipiru! Stop!"
The sled sped quickly, just under the water surface. The afternoon had aged, and there was a reddish tinge to the clouds, but Toshio could clearly see Kipiru leaping from wavelet to wavelet up ahead. He appeared indifferent to Toshio's calls as he neared the island where his comrades lay beached and delirious. Toshio felt helpless. Another aftershock was due in 3 minutes. If it didn't beach the dolphin, Kipiru's own efforts probably would. Kipiru came from At Last, a new and rather rustic colony world. It was doubtful he had learned the tools of mental discipline studied by Krydike and Hikahi.
"Stop! If we time it right, we can work as a team. We can miss the aftershocks. Will you let me catch up?
He screamed. It was no use. The Finn had too much of a head start. The futile chase frustrated Toshio. How could he have lived and worked with dolphins all his life and known them so poorly? To think the Terrigan's Council had chosen him for this tour because of his experience with Finns.
Ha! Ah.
Toshio had always taken a lot of kidding from Finns. They kidded all human children, while protecting them ferociously. But on signing aboard Streaker, Toshio had expected to be treated as an adult and officer. Sure, there'd be a little repartee, as he'd seen between man and Finn back home, but mutual respect as well. It hadn't worked out that way. Kipiru had been the worst, starting right off with heavy sarcasm and never letting up. So why am I trying to save him? He recalled the fierce courage Kipiru had shown in saving him from the weed. There was no rescue fever then. The Finn had been in full control over his harness. So he thinks of me as a child, Toshio realized bitterly. No wonder he doesn't hear me now. Still, it offered a way. Toshio bit his lip, wishing vainly for an alternative. To save Kipiru's life, he would have to humiliate himself utterly. It wasn't an easy thing to decide. His pride had taken such a beating. With a savage curse, he pulled back the throttle and set the bow planes to descend. He turned up the hydrophones to maximum, swallowed, then cried out in pigeon trinary. Child drowning, child in danger, child drowning, child's distress, human child in need of savior, human child, come do your best. He repeated the call over and over, whistling through lips dry with shame. The nursery rhyme was taught to all the children of Calathea. Any kid past the age of 9 who used it usually pleaded for transfer to another island to escape the subsequent razzing. There were more dignified ways an adult called for help, none of which Kipiru had heard. Ears burning, he repeated the call. Not all Calathean kids did well with the Finns. Only a quarter of the planet's human population worked closely with the sea. But those adults were the ones who learned how to deal with dolphins. Toshio had always assumed he'd be one of them. Now, that was all over. If he got back to Streaker, he'd have to hide in his cabin for at least the few days or weeks it took for the victors of the battle over Kithrop to come down and claim them all. On his sonar screen, another fuzzy line of static was approaching from the west. Toshio let the sled slip a little deeper. Not that he cared. He continued to whistle, but he felt like crying. Where child is? Where child is? Where? Primal Delphin, nearby. Almost, Toshio forgot his shame. He fingered a rope left over from Brukita's lashings and kept whistling. A streak of gray twilight flashed past him. Toshio gathered his knees under him and took the rope in both hands. He knew Kipiru would circle below and come up the other side. When he saw the first hint of gray hurtling upward, Toshio launched himself from the sled. The bullet-like body of the dolphin twisted in an abrupt, panicky attempt to avoid collision. Toshio cried out as the cetacean's tail struck him in the chest, but it was a cry more of glee than pain. He had timed it right. As Kipiru twisted around again, Toshio flung himself backward, allowing the fin to pass between himself and the rope. He clamped his feet around the dolphin's slick tail and pulled the rope with all the will of a garroter. "Got you!" he cried. At that instant, the aftershock hit. The cycloid clutched and pulled. Bits of flotsam struck him as suction tossed his body in alliance with the mad, bucking dolphin. This time Toshio felt no fear of the wave. He was filled with a fierce battle lust. Adrenaline seared like a hot flux. It pleased him to save Kipiro's life by physically punishing him for weeks of humiliation. The dolphin writhed in panic. As the shock rolled past them, Kipiru cried out the basic call for air. Desperately, the Finn drove for the surface. They breached, and Toshio just missed getting blasted by spume from Kipiru's blowhole.